Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night, Friday, August the 14th, 2026, 18 and a half minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. And we are so happy to be joined tonight via telephone by the former 6th Ward City Councilman, Ron Prater, because the news today was very interesting. Current 6th Ward City Councilman appointed after Mr. Prater resigned his seat earlier this year, Bill Dichtel, has now announced that he will be resigning his seat effective on Monday. And now we have learned that City Council, per the Board of Elections here in Marion County, will be picking Bill Dichtel's replacement because Mr. Dichtel did not run in a primary. He was appointed to his seat. So glad to be joined. Haven't talked to this man for a while. Former 6th Ward City Councilman Ron Prater. Mr. Prater, how are you?
I am doing great this evening. I'm doing wonderful. Went to Planet Fitness and worked out earlier.
Good to hear. So everything's on the mend.
Oh, yeah. It's getting on the mend. I've done a lot of physical therapy, and my knee feels great and everything.
Perfect. Well, Mr. Prater, what did you make of the news that Mr. Dichtel is going to resign effective Monday?
Well, I was shocked, but I really was surprised. But then he said, I think it said he was moving out of the ward.
Moving out of the ward, that's correct.
Yeah, so that would be the reason why he had to. He's a good man, and I was glad that somebody like him replaced me.
Now, he was and is your councilman. How did you like him as a councilman for the 6 months he represented you?
I think he did fine. I knew him. I sat with him on council when he filled in last year on another position. He's a good man, good family man, good teacher. Did a great job. He moved, and I guess that's, you know, if he was at large, he could move somewhere else in Marion and still maintain his seat, but I guess if I moved out of the 6th Ward, I would have had to resign for that reason anyways instead of the reason I did.
Now, that brings up an interesting question, Mr. Prater, because this is the seat, this is actually the term that you won last November. Mr. Dichtel replaced you because you had to have some surgery and you needed some time to recuperate. You said you're doing well. Would you want to resume this position?
I would like to. I did not want to resign. I did it for the good of the city because I knew that I couldn't even get in a car. My leg was straight out, cast from my hip to my toe. I wasn't even sure if I was even going to be able to walk again the way they were talking. The damage was so bad. So I didn't want to do a Mitch McConnell and lay around in a home like a zombie for 3 months and not show up at the job with nobody filling the seat. So for the good of the city, I resigned, not because I wanted to.
But at this point, are you saying that you will throw your name in the hat to be selected again?
Yes. I actually won the election. It wasn't because I didn't resign because I didn't like it, because I wanted to. I figured I had to for the sake of the city at the time. It's just like if you're a football player, you're a quarterback, you get knocked out, and somebody's got to fill in, and I figured he would finish out the term. That's what I figured. I was, you know, thinking, would at the end of, if he finished out that term and he didn't run again, would I consider running again? and I wasn't sure, but I would gladly throw my name in the ring and finish out the term that I was actually elected to.
Well, we've learned, Mr. Prater, today, per the Board of Elections, that the Republican Party will not be choosing his replacement. It will be City Council, because Mr. Dichtel did not run in a primary. He was your replacement. Do you think you can get a majority of votes on City Council to take back this seat that you won last November?
I think I can. I don't think I antagonize my fellow council members and the new ones that bad. I would hope they had confidence in me.
Well, it's interesting, Mr. Prater, because this is all happening right in the middle of probably one of the most, I'm going to say, contentious, interesting, fascinating times on City Council, with last Monday's vote to ban flock cameras in Marion. A couple weeks ago, we had a standing room only crowd during committee meetings during a City Council meeting where people got up and spoke about flock cameras. I don't think people would have ever dreamed that Marion City would have voted council to ban flock cameras in the city of Marion, but it happened Monday with a 5-4 vote. How do you feel about that?
If you had asked me 20 years ago about flock cameras, I would have been totally opposed. But, you know, people say it's an invasion of our rights. We're being surveilled. The cell phone I'm talking to you on knows more about me than any flock camera will ever be able to determine. We're already followed. My brother told me a story. He had his cell phone button on him. He wasn't Googling anything. He has an Apple. He was talking about some product. He immediately, after he was talking about it, he didn't call Alexa, nothing. That product was on his Facebook page. So it's good arguments on both sides. I was one time given a ticket for a traffic light where I went through yellow in the middle of Texas going down to Houston to visit my wife's family. I was going through Midland, Texas. Well, I told my wife, I said, "Oh, honey, I think I went through that light a little late. We were wondering what direction to turn." And I thought, well, there was no cops, so I thought I might be okay. Well, when we got back from vacation, I got a letter in the mail telling me I was fined $120. Of course, you know, it made me mad because I didn't actually get pulled over. But I went ahead and I paid it, you know. I called him up. I said, "Hey, you know, I was traveling through the light changed in the middle, and it was because we didn't know what direction to turn, and I went through it, and actually, I made a violation. I went through, and it was red by the time I got through." So, it's a good question, but I do believe that the flock cameras, I never even paid attention to them because I wasn't concerned about them. But I do believe that they are a good tool necessary for the police in certain circumstances in locating and solving crimes like missing children, that drive-by shooting that took place. It helps solve that crime. And there's, you know, our privacy has already been violated. It happened right after 9/11. So I think it's a good tool for the city to use, for municipalities to use, because it's a lot cheaper than hiring 5 officers, because people complain all the time about, you know, there's people speeding, people running red lights, people running stop signs, okay? But you know what? If those cameras can ticket people, maybe they will stop doing it as much. And then the city cannot afford to hire 5 or 6 more officers. Maybe the flock cameras are a more economical way to help enforce law.
So if you were currently on council, you would vote not to get rid of the flock cameras. Is that correct?
No. I would not vote to get rid of them. I would vote that they would be... I would vote that every month there is more disclosure to council about what the police are finding, what Chief McDonald, what the sheriff, what they're doing with the cameras, that how many crimes they've solved with them, and just more observation of what they're doing.
Compliance. Now, Mr. Prater, you served with a lot of these people who voted to get rid of the flock cameras. Aaron Rollins voted to get rid of them. Thaddeus Smith voted to get rid of them. Scott Kreider, I don't believe you served with Scott, but he voted to get rid of them. Dan Clark, who voted to get rid of them. Are you surprised, and the new Nate Stevenson councilman voted to get rid of them. Are you surprised that council voted to get rid of them in the city of Marion?
No, from the arguments I've seen on Facebook, it did not shock me because it's been pushed. The algorithm has been very strong, pushed through social media. The algorithm, the same algorithm that forces the people turning against data centers and so forth. But I understand their position. It's a very touchy position. It is. You know, you think, if I coast a little bit to a stop sign, like I don't come to 100% complete stop there at Center and Main, am I going to get a ticket just because it's not 100% of a stop at certain intersections? You know, then that way I would be upset if they were just doing it just to raise revenue. But to enforce traffic, to solve crimes, it would be a good thing. I told somebody on Facebook this about, they were talking about the surveillance state. I said, that ship has already sailed. I said, the only way to avoid the surveillance state would be to travel in a time machine back to 1976. I mean, if you walk by my house, I have you on my camera.
Well, Mr. Prater, this has brought us to another interesting question, because Mayor Collins right now is now discussing and deciding if he should veto this legislation. I spoke to him right after City Council on Monday. He said this could be one of his first vetoes. Do you think Mayor Collins should veto this legislation?
I think that presidents have the power of veto, governors have the power of veto, the mayor does. I would leave that decision, I could not make that decision for the mayor. If I was the mayor, let's say that if it was me that was the mayor, I would probably veto.
If Mayor Collins asked you, what are your thoughts? Should I veto this, Mr. Prater? You would say?
I would say if you veto it, there must be strong compliance and the flock cameras remain. There must be accountability to the public about what the cameras are doing, how they're being used, the amount of crimes that they're solving, or so forth. But if he doesn't veto it, that's fine. It was a 5-4 decision by council. The majority spoke, and I have tons of respect for Thaddeus. I used to sit beside him on council. I understand his arguments, but I look at the flock cameras like this. If there's one missing child that can be found, if there's one murder or some assault, or somebody is ran over at an intersection and somebody takes off, and you can find out who that person was, we've already compromised so much of our privacy in the last 25 years. I would rather the police have that ability to do that than Apple, Meta, Google, who knows everything that we buy from Amazon. They know every website we go to, everything we go to on YouTube. So if you're worried about surveillance and being watched, people should get rid of their smartphones and stop streaming movies and stop ordering from Amazon, because we're already, somebody somewhere knows what we're doing and saying on social media and so forth.
Mr. Prater, a couple quick questions here. What's your opinion? Do you think the mayor will veto this, being a former chief of police, saying he is in favor of the flock cameras? When it comes right down to it, do you think he'll veto it?
I actually think he probably will.
Okay.
But if he does, because he is a policeman, and I worked out at the jail for many years, and I understand, a general police used to come in all the time, and anything that a cop, policemen are going to feel like that this is a, can help us in maintaining law and order, they're going to be for it. And, you know, I would rather the flock cameras be in charge of our mayor and our chief of police than what Meta, Google, and all these other people out there that are tracking everything that we do and say. I would have more trust, because, you know what? Those people aren't ever going to be accountable. But we can hold a mayor or a chief of police accountable for what they're doing.
Well, speaking... go ahead.
Yeah. Well, so if let's just say the flock camera is what vetoes it, and the flock cameras remain. Okay? I just would want to see more... I lost the word, but more information coming in to council on a monthly report about what these cameras are doing, what they're observing, and all that. And so we know that they're not being abused.
Speaking of accountability, since you left your seat on council, Marion was declared to be in fiscal emergency. A board is being put together at this point with the state auditor to oversee the finances of Marion, give advice. What do you make of the whole fiscal situation here in Marion?
Well, you know, Detroit, Michigan had this happen too a few years ago, and they have made a great recovery. It's not perfect there. They still have areas of total neighborhoods that were completely shut down or, you know, vacant and everything. But I think that I kind of hit rock bottom this year when I lost everything. And sometimes, Marion, kind of like, you got to hit the rock bottom sometimes to build yourself up. And I think that this, from what I read and what I was following about this arrangement with the state, and what was this lawyer's name in Marion Hall, who's going to represent something, I think this is going to be the best thing in the long term to help Marion out of this situation. So it's not a horrible thing. It's going to, in the long run, help this city rebound. And you know, when we got that Strongest Town Award, Strongest Town don't mean that you're the strongest. Strongest sometimes is overcoming something. I never knew this year how strong I had to be until somebody sitting there saying, you might not walk without a walker the rest of your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, those are odds to overcome, for sure.
Yeah, and like I said, the city is the same way. The city has been crippled, has been cut down, you know? And sometimes when you get to that point, that's when you get to turn it around. That's when you face the reality that you cannot do things the same way that you had been doing them before. And you have to do things differently and take a new approach. And I think that this happening in the long term is going to be the best thing that ever happened to Marion.
Mr. Prater, in our final moments here together, you say you would like to resume your position as 6th Ward City Councilman. Has anybody contacted you today? Have you contacted anybody about possibly resuming?
I sent a message to Ralph Smith, you know, I probably keep more contact with than anybody. I said, I'm shocked that he resigned, but I said I wouldn't mind stepping back in. I didn't, like I said, it really depressed me to have to resign after I was just reelected, you know. But I could have been selfish and hung on and never showed up, and the empty seat would have been at the meetings for 4 months. But I did it what I thought would be best for the city at the time.
So what did Mr. Smith say when you told him this?
Oh, no, he hasn't got back with me, so who knows? Maybe they don't want me back. I don't know.
But you'll show up anyway.
I would love to resume, because I was looking forward to this second term. Because, you know, I think they passed a new law or something that the council now is going to serve 4 years.
No, that's on the ballot this fall.
That's on the ballot this fall. That will be, you know, they put it on the ballot that people have a chance to, you know, make a choice whether council members are going to serve 4 years. It takes 2 years on council to get the feel of everything, get knowledge of everything. And that's why I was looking so forward to this second term of mine, but it got derailed. Sometimes you never know what's going to happen in life, and if they would want me back, I would be glad to be back.
Mr. Prater, before we bring an end to this conversation, you know, we talked about the city being in fiscal emergency at this particular point. A lot of decisions, not all of them, a lot of decisions came from prior administrations, but last year, last 2 years, when you had been on council, decisions were made to run the buses at night. There were parties in the park that cost thousands of dollars that were voted on. Money was spent that maybe should not have been spent. Do you think there was a lack of financial oversight?
Well, I believe there was a lack of clarity to a lot of the council about what was going on, exactly how bad it was. That we had an auditor that was not doing the job, you know, those issues with the treasurer. I when I was reelected, I already said that I'm going to be voting things a lot differently this time around than I did the last time.
Meaning what?
Meaning that everything is going to be about fiscal responsibility and get back to, you know, doing what is necessary to have the budget in line. And have more communication. And I like the fact that Aaron Rollins is taking over on the head of the Finance Committee. I have a lot of respect for Aaron Rollins. We don't always agree on everything, but I have so much respect for him and his intelligence and knowledge and the way and his ability to articulate. So I do believe that when I was reelected, I knew that I would be voting a lot differently as far as allowing money to be spent on certain things.
Are there any votes you regret financially?
It's been some of the bus thing. I never really, when the party bus thing, the running the bus at night, there were a lot of people that wanted that, but it wasn't profitable. Probably would have changed that. And there's some other things that I would have voted on that would have spent money here and there. It's not that any of those things would have changed Marion's situation, but it would have looked better. And those things I would have changed. I wanted to get back to my fiscal conservative roots that I kind of grew up with, what I seen with my mom, how she managed our household budget. You know, my mom and dad never made a lot of money, but ended up living very comfortably. So I know what it is, and It would have been a lot. I was going to do things a lot differently.
Well, and it's very interesting to think about. We're so glad you were able to join us tonight, Mr. Prater, former 6th Ward City Councilman, and possibly, again, throwing his name in the ring here for the position of 6th Ward Councilman now that Bill Dichtel has resigned that seat. Thank you, Mr. Prater. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Ron Prater. Matt Morgan, any thoughts on Mr. Prater tonight?
I think Mr. Prater is. I think they should give Prater back the job.
You do?
I do.
You'd vote for him
if I was on council?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He won the election. I mean, I'd give him back the job. I mean, he resigned for health reasons. The health concerns are over. His seat's back up. I mean, I'd let him finish his term.
Against the flock camera, or no? For the flock cameras, will that hurt him?
I don't think so.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You heard it here first.
Well, that's
Mr. Prater throws his hat back in the ring for 6th Ward City Councilman.
I think they should give the job back to Prater. He won the election. That's, you know, that's all.
But he also vacated the seat.
For health reasons.
Okay.
And his health.
Listen, it's not my decision.
It's not my decision, but I think they should give the job back to Prater.
Okay. I don't know who's going to be positioning themselves for this position.
Well, apparently Mr. Prater is.
Yes. Yes. Apparently Mr. Prater is. Yes.
So we know one.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Council's choosing him.
You don't think council would vote Prater in?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know, honestly. I don't know who's going to throw the ring in from the 6th Ward. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I will say I don't think it bodes well for him that Councilman Smith hasn't gotten back a hold of him yet.
Well, you never know. Ralph could be busy Friday.
Maybe they're just, busy.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have any thoughts on anything we're talking about, what's coming up next hour?
Next hour, I'm going to be talking about, well, the flock cameras, as well as a few national stories. And, whatever else comes to mind.
Just stream of consciousness.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm gonna talk about the stories I have, and and then should that not fill it in, then yeah, I'm just gonna then stream of consciousness. Or I could go a little more in depth on my thoughts on whatever my stories are, I guess.
Well, that's good. Now let's see. Any memories from the Bratwurst Festival today?
Yeah, I didn't get a bratwurst.
Well, that's your fault.
Yeah, I know.
They were right there.
I don't know. I meant to get one before we left, and then I just left.
You know, I'll tell you, that accordion music was as good as ever. Wayne Gollub and Anthony Solcar.
That was good. You know, like I said, I'm, missed opportunity. They could have been touring with the Kentucky Headhunters. All they had to do was play Dumas Walker.
Yeah. Richard Young was right there.
He
wanted to hear accordion music.
To hear it.
What a mistake. I had the royalty all lined up there.
I don't know. Look,
I'll tell you, five hours we were there, 4 hours nothing, and 12 o'clock everybody showed up. The Grand Central Station at noon.
It was good.
That's how you do a show.
It went well.
Now, I was talking earlier about autism.
Yes.
I told somebody this week that I thought...
Oh, yeah, I'm listening.
What I actually said was, I said, have you ever been checked for autism? And they said, what's that supposed to mean? And I said, see a doctor. You know, maybe you should see a doctor. They didn't like that.
I could imagine. Yeah.
And they wanted to know what I meant by that.
Well, I think the implication's pretty obvious.
I didn't think it was that hard to draw a conclusion. But they wanted to know, and I said, I'm not going to get into it, because it'll cause a fight.
Well, I think you started a fight by telling them that they should go to the doctor because
I'm concerned because they have autistic tendencies.
I don't know why it matters.
Because they're undiagnosed.
So what? There's all kinds of...
I try to help people, excuse me.
There's all kinds of undiagnosed autistic people.
Yes, but I think they're on the spectrum, and I think they might need some help.
I don't necessarily think that they need help.
Well, I did.
I mean, I don't know who we're referring to, I guess, but...
No, but they wanted to know. See, and I knew if I told them the autistic tendencies that I thought they had, I knew they wouldn't like that.
Yes, probably not.
So I waited like 2 days, and then I said, how's it going, autism? And that was not greeted very well. They didn't like that at all. And I thought it was comedy. I thought after 48 hours we had exercised that and they would see the humor in what I was trying to say.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, they didn't. They did not find that humorous at all. You know what their response was to that? And you wonder why we have fallings out. I said, because you have no sense of humor. Which is an autistic trait. They don't get
yes.
To see.
Yes, that one is.
Checkmate. I think it's fascinating.
I suppose.
But I tell people, should I not tell people the truth?
No.
I should lie to people.
Well, you shouldn't lie to people, but I don't think you should.
You're the one who said always be honest, tell people when they look bad, all this sort of nonsense.
Yeah.
Now you got a whole new thing. Lie to them.
No, don't lie to them. But there's no need to just be like, have you ever gone to the doctors to get checked for autism?
I said.
What?
It just struck me in that moment.
Oh, I don't know why this conversation it's funny. It's funny to imagine.
It happened.
I'm not saying it didn't happen. It's just a funny conversation.
But autism's not a bad thing.
No, I didn't say it was. It's just a
lot of very talented people are on the spectrum.
Yes, it's just an interesting thing to just randomly be like, you know.
I was concerned that maybe they don't realize they're autistic.
Maybe you don't realize you're autistic.
Could be. I don't know.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, who's to say? But nobody's ever told me that I was autistic.
I don't think you should go around telling people that you think they're autistic.
No, I did not say I thought they were autistic. I said, have you ever thought you might have a touch of autism?
I think that's implying that you think they're autistic.
No, because I said maybe you should see a doctor.
To get checked for autism.
Because, exactly. Because I'm not a doctor, and I don't know.
Because you think...
If you go and get a clean bill of health, then I have no problem with this.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, listen, it's like if you have the flu, like you're hacking and coughing and sneezing, and I say, whoa, maybe you should go see a doctor, because I'm not a doctor. If you get a clean bill of health, come back. But if you get the flu, stay home. Same thing.
I don't think so.
What if they find out they have autism?
I mean, I don't think it really makes a difference.
Not to me, it wouldn't.
I mean, I don't know why it would to them. It's not like anything's going to change.
Well, you can get medications.
I don't think you can just... I mean, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know much about autism now that I think about it.
Listen, they can cure obeseness now, give you a shot.
Yeah, but, you know...
By the way, I think that's screwing with people's brains.
Well, probably.
Holy mackerel.
You're taking diabetes medication for weight loss. I mean, what do you think was going to happen? There's going to be some negative consequences.
Yeah, but
you're misusing the medicine.
Yeah, but people, they get crazy. They think like they're losing weight exercising or something. They fooled themselves into believing that they've lost the weight.
Natural weight loss?
Yes, because they're like, wow, who was the fat guy or something like that. And I think, what?
Yeah, I mean... I don't know. I don't think... I mean, if you, like...
I think you've got to go through some serious therapy when you lose an amount of weight like that with those GLP-1s.
Well, if you lose too much weight, you'll have a bunch of, like, blue skin.
Uh-huh. I've seen that.
Yeah.
But I don't go up to people and tell them that.
Well, why would you?
I don't say, hey, you got a turkey underneath your neck or something? You know, I don't do that.
I think that maybe they'd appreciate that.
No, I don't think they would. People don't even appreciate when I say they have autism.
Well, yeah, I wonder why.
I imply that they have autism. I don't really know. I'm not a doctor.
It was like one of those half jokes, half serious kind of things.
But don't you think 2 days after this very angry conversation when I said, hey, what's up, autism? They should have saw that as more of a joke than an anger.
I mean, I probably would have, but like, I mean, I don't know. They were upset when you brought it up to them.
Why, they certainly were.
Why would this
be
different?
Well, I thought, it was kind of like a check on their autism.
Okay.
To see if they had a sense of humor about it. Clearly they do not. Well, which is another check mark in the autism category.
Maybe they just don't like being called autistic.
I wasn't doing it, like, in front of a crowd.
Well, I don't think it mattered. I don't think they liked it.
Well,
obviously, they were not a fan.
You know what? That's showbiz. You know, nobody ever guessed this theme last week. I'll play it again here tonight. Nobody ever guessed the theme. I feel bad about that. Should play here again in a second. I really think somebody should get this. Does anybody know what this is the theme for? 740-383-9944.
Is this still around?
Oh, yeah. Not like this anymore, though. Much like everything else, they've classed it down.
Well, it's money. It's all about the money.
No, it's because we have no taste and no censorship in these days.
Well, I mean, I could give an example as to why I think it's all money now with this one specifically, but then I think I might give it away. It
used to be a good show.
I don't know, but I know, I'm pretty sure I know what it is now.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. It's a very good vocal theme. Acoustic.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know if this is acoustic.
I think it is.
I don't know. It might be.
No words.
But acoustic is like... I mean, like, if you had no words, but you were using, like, electric guitars, then it's not acoustic.
Well, I don't hear any electric guitars there.
No, but I mean, I think I hear pianos.
I don't really know.
Or keyboards, I guess, maybe. I don't know.
In any event, I think a lot of this is, I think I might contact that person again and try to further the autism conversation.
Yeah, update us on how that goes.
Well, I think it's very nice that I bring it up every so often.
I think they'd probably disagree.
They've got a bad attitude anyway. I don't know why they have such a bad attitude. They always tell me they're so happy, but they're not.
Well, I think a lot of the times people who claim to be happy, like, all the time... like, are probably some of the most unhappy people on Earth. I mean, nobody's happy all the time. I mean, you could be neutral. I mean, you don't have to be upset a lot or even, you know, regularly. But, I mean, you don't always have to be happy. You can just be neutral. You can just have okay days. I mean, you don't need to be happy every day. If you're happy every day, you're either crazy or lying.
Well, that's what I think.
I think that's the logical, yes.
But today was a good day. I had a lot of fun today.
I think so, yeah. I think today was good.
Yeah. How often do you get accordion music and a bunch of people dressed in dirndls and a celebrity musician?
He looks like I'm going to look in like 50 years.
All within an hour.
What do you think about that?
I don't know.
I think
do you think you're going to look like him?
Well, yeah, I guess that's, yeah. He looks how I'm going to look in about 50 years.
He was a very nice man, Richard Young, with the Kentucky Headhunters.
I'm sure pictures have been posted, but he's wearing like a plaid flannel, and he's got the long, curly hair. Look, I'm telling you. I can
I'll
see
tell you the big difference between him and you. You know what it is?
He's got some kind of Kentucky accent going on there.
Well, he's got that, but
yeah.
He was on time.
He was on time. That's
he
right.
Was. He was early.
He was early.
See? Right there.
He's got that, yeah.
They're rocking right now over there. They're about to end.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when we were on break. I was like, oh, you know, they're about to go on if they're not already.
You know, there was discussion about me possibly announcing them tonight.
What happened with that?
Well, I didn't further the conversation.
You should have.
I don't think so. I mean,
we could have covered it.
What's the cover? Oh, yeah, I would have got to say, welcome to the 2026 59th Annual Bucyrus Bratwurst Festival.
I would have been...
Get ready for some entertainment. Here comes a group you're going to love, the Kentucky Headhunters. See, I need more than that.
No. And then we can just sit at some table in the front with, like, microphones, and then boom, look at that. We're broadcasting it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who wants that?
I do. I mean, we're going to sit there and listen to the music.
You know, there's a lot of things people have asked me to do over the years
music.
That I have not done.
I love music. Let me introduce some bands. I guess that's like free front row seating.
Yeah, well, it just came up. He said he would love to have me do it, talk to this person, and I... No.
Okay.
No, because I didn't... I mean, it's not my place. It's not my festival. I don't want to, you know, worm my way in.
I mean, the man asked you if you wanted to do it. I mean, sounds to me like he
yeah, but
there.
See, then I have to go talk to somebody else who's actually running the stage, and maybe they don't want me to do it, and then there's like a conflict, and who needs all that?
I'm telling you got to be cutthroat sometime, like the McDonald's guy.
But it's not something I wanted to do.
Well, like, I don't know, I would have. I like music.
Liking music and introducing a band are two different things.
See, because, look, you gotta think.
I had to come to a 67 degree studio and sit and do a show.
The long term, okay? So, like, you know, introduction's gonna take like 2 minutes tops. You know, it'll take no time. You get out there 30 seconds, you know, look, you're the Kentucky Headhunters, woo, let's go, and then you get off. But, like I said, free front row seating, or you could be backstage nonetheless, but you're gonna watch the band. Backstage is probably cooler. You gotta, you know, you could just. Hang out with
them. I bet it gets a big response when they play Dumas Walker.
I bet it does.
Well, you know, it is interesting.
I bet you just about everybody's singing the chorus.
You know, I thought he gave a very honest answer earlier. I said, why, you know, this song, which was, I guess, first released in 1989, became a single in 1990. This is, what now, 30 plus years ago. Why is that the song? Of all the songs in 40 years, why is that the one? He said, if I knew, they would all be like that. And I think that's very interesting, because you don't know.
Well, I mean, I think it just captures, like the small town, like country kind of feel. People like the, especially in, like, areas like this, like the, like, country rock kind of vibe. That
yeah, but you can try to do that again. You can do it 1,000 times, and it's not going to be popular like that. Like, when I was writing those top of the hour things.
If you're trying to do something, like, that's going to be like, you know, everybody loves it, you know, like, 9 out of 10 times, you're going to fail.
No, but it's interesting.
Most of the time, the
like,
big things just kind of happen.
Like, Paul Savage, who wrote songs for this station, theme songs.
Who's Paul Savage?
He's dead. But he hosted a show called Heaven Express. He wrote his own theme, the Heaven Express, every Sunday night on the station.
But
he wrote themes for me. He wrote themes for Marge Hazlett.
Did he
wrote themes for The Exchange.
Did he, like, sing or something?
Yeah. But he wrote Charlie's theme. And I'm sure if he could have picked himself, he would have had his theme be the most popular. But it ended up... And Charlie's theme never made any sense. I mean, if you listen to the lyrics, it really doesn't make any sense.
Is that like the fruitcake?
No, that's him, though. No, but Charlie's theme, if you really listen to the lyrics, it doesn't...
I don't know.
Some of it makes sense, but most of it doesn't. But there's just something about that melody and that the way he wrote it. So there's that, and like the top of the hour things that I did. You know, they were all written at the same time with the same idea. But for some reason, people remember Ice Cream Socialist more than anything else.
Because it's the best one.
But you see, if before those ever aired or were written, if I would have said which is, if you would have asked me which is the best one, I wouldn't have known.
I guess. I mean, you wrote them. It's like jokes. I mean, if you like comedians who write jokes, and I mean, you don't know how funny a joke's going to be until you tell a joke.
No, but I don't think you would have known if you would have read it. I think you've got to hear it, and there it is.
I think you need a like I don't know. As far as comedians go, I think you need a reaction to the gauge a joke. I mean, I don't think you can be
but
like,
see,
oh,
I think
a joke.
I think some jokes play different in different places.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to know your audience, but I mean, you know, I mean, you use a joke like two or three times and it's not getting a laugh anywhere. I think it's time to bench the joke.
Well, we're done here for the night tonight. Your show's coming up next. That'll be fun. I hope.
Yes, I think so.
Well, we'll hope. So that's coming up. Everybody stay tuned for this night. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Did as much as she could to undo what my grandmother did. My grandmother didn't get angry at her. She just abided her, and just we would stand there and watch the woman do